Today's section is on Bodhipakshiya Dhammas. Most of the things taught in this section are familiar to you. They are mindfulness, supreme effort, and so on. Now, this section is called Bodhipakshiya Sangha, the compendium of requisites of enlightenment. Now, the word, Pali word, Bodhipakshiya, is made up of three parts, Bodhi, Pakha, and Iya. Bodhi here means enlightenment. And pakha means the sight. So Bodhipakha means the sight of enlightenment. And iya means to belong to or to be included in. So Bodhipakshiya means those that belong to the sight of the enlightenment. So the states that are on the side of enlightenment, the states that are included in the side of enlightenment. And actually these are the ones that lead to enlightenment. And there are altogether 37 of these states, divided into different groups, like Satipatthana and so on. Mostly, the Bodhipakshiyas are called factors of enlightenment or the requisites of enlightenment, because then there is another word in this group, I mean, in this section, Bodhyanga, which will be translated as factors of enlightenment. So these are the ones that lead to attainment of enlightenment. So Bodhi here means enlightenment or the four path knowledges. Now, the first of the groups is Satipatthana. Now, you're already familiar with Satipatthana. So, there are four Satipatthanas. Now, in the word Satipatthana, that is the word Sati and Patthana. Patthana means to stand firmly, to be established firmly. So Satipatthana means which is established firmly, or which stands firmly. And there are four Satipatthanas. The first one is Kayanupassana Satipatthana. Now, in the word kaya nupasana, there are two words, kaya and anupasana. Kaya here means the body as we usually know it, and also the body of breathing in and breathing out. So kaya nupasana means seeing. Anupasana means repeatedly seeing. That means contemplating. So contemplation on the kaya, on contemplation on the body. So the body here means both the physical body and the body of breathing in and breathing out, or the whole of breathing in and breathing out. The next one is Vedana Nupassana, contemplation on feelings. Now, there is no difficulty in understanding this feeling contemplation. And you know there are how many kinds of feelings? Three or five, right? Yeah. So, contemplation on pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling, or pleasant feeling connected with body, unpleasant feeling connected with body. So, contemplation on any one of these feelings is called Vedana Nupassana. The third one is Citta Nupassana, contemplation on the citta, different types of consciousness. I hope you are familiar with the discourse on the foundations of mindfulness. So, Citta Nupassana there is described as knowing citta accompanied by attachment as citta accompanied by attachment and so on. And the last one is Dhamma Nupassana. Now here the word Dhamma is difficult to translate. So in this manual it is translated as mental objects. So I prefer to call them Dhamma objects, and I have explained it to you many times. Now, in the commentary to this manual, Dhamma is said to mean Sanya and Sankara. Now, if you look at the four foundations, the four Satipatthanas, the first one deals with Rupa, right? And the second one with Vedana, and the fourth one with Vijnana. So the two aggregates are remaining. So Dhamma here means these two aggregates, Sanya and Sankara. So contemplation on Sanya, contemplation on other objects is called Dhamma Nupassana, contemplation on Dhamma objects. But if you remember the discourse on the foundations of mindfulness, Dhamma Nupassana includes more than these Sanya and Sankara. In Dhamma Nupassana section, how many do you remember? Nivaranas, right? I mean, hindrances, and then aggregates of clinging, bases, elements, Four Noble Truths, right? So, all these are included in Dhamma. So, Dhamma is not Sanya and Sankara only, actually. Rupa is also included in Dhamma. And Four Noble Truths are also included in Dhamma. So, contemplation on any one of these states is called Dhamma Nupassana. So, there are four Satipatthanas. But in essence, in reality, four Satipatthanas are identical with sati, mindfulness. So this mindfulness will find this mindfulness as the seventh factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. There are eight factors in Noble Eightfold Path, and the seventh of them is Sammasati. So there it will be called Sammasati, and here it is called Satipatthana. So these are the four four contemplations or four setting up of mindfulness or four foundations of mindfulness. And in the note it is said the four foundations of mindfulness form a complete system of meditative practice for the development of mindfulness and insight. So it is a complete system. of mindfulness, of meditative practice, and this mindfulness is. And you all know that you can read about mindfulness in detail in that discourse on the foundations of mindfulness. The next group is Sammapadhana. Supreme efforts. Now, here also, Samma and Padhana. Samma means in the right way, and Padhana means making effort. So, making effort in the right way is called Sammapadhana. So, but here it is translated as supreme effort. And the names of these Sammapadhanas are long. Uppannana Papakana Pahanaya Vayamo. Vayamo means effort, virya. Vayama and virya are synonymous. Uppannana Papakana Pahanaya. Pahanaya means to discard or to remove. Papakana means off, evil states. Upanana means that have arisen. So it is the effort to remove or to abandon evil states that have arisen. That means the abandonment of akusala you did in the past. So, making effort to abandon the akusala you did in the past is called, say, Sammapadhana, Uppannanam Papakanam Pahanaya Vayamo. Now, how can one get rid of akusala, the past akusala? It's already done. Right? So what is meant here is you do not feel guilty about that akusala you did in the past. So if you feel guilty about that, you will increase your akusala. So even if I feel regret for this akusala, what has been done cannot be undone. It's already done, and it will bring me more akusala if I am regretful about that akusala in the past. And so not paying attention to it or just forgetting it and trying to do something, some kusala, is called this first Sammapadhana. So, what to do with regard to akusala we did in the past? Forget it. Try to forget it. And instead, do kusala. The second one is anuppannanam papakanam anuppadaya vayamo. Anuppadaya means for not arising. Papakana means of evil states, and anuppannana means those that have not arisen. So it is an effort for not arising of evil states that have not arisen. Here, that have not arisen means that is not arising right at this moment. That is not arisen in your mind. And also, akusala, that has not arisen in you regarding some particular object. When we see some desirable object which we have not seen before, we may have attachment to that object. So that kind of akusala is called anupanna akusala. So here, akusala that has not arisen means akusala that is not in our mind right now, and also akusala that has not arisen in our mind regarding some object. So anupanana, I mean, the effort to prevent the arising of an arisen evil state is one samabhadana. So we try to prevent akusala from arising by practice of kusala, by practice of 10 kusala kamas taught in the 5th chapter, or by practice of samatha and vipassana. And the third one is anupannana kusalana upadaya vayamo. Effort for the arising of wholesome states that have not yet arisen. So kusala, which is not yet arisen in our minds before, like meditation, like samatha, vipassana, and magga. So these are those that have not arisen in our minds before. And for their arising, you make an effort, and that effort is sammapadana. So when you practice meditation, you are having this sammapadana. You are trying to make akusala arise in your mind, akusala that has not arisen in your mind before. Number four is uppannanam kusalanam bhiyo bhavaya vayamo. That is the effort to augment arisen wholesome states. That means for the growth or for development of arisen wholesome states. Now, suppose you are practicing meditation, and so you have some vipassana, kusala, but you try to practice more vipassana, and so that effort is called sammapadana, because this vipassana has you have experienced this vipassana wholesome state, but you try to make it happen again and again. So that is the effort for the growth of the wholesome states that have arisen. So there are four efforts here. Two regarding akusala and two regarding kusala. Regarding akusala, the effort to abandon akusala which has been done, and effort for not arising of akusala which has not yet arisen. And with regard to kusala effort for the arising of kusala, which has not yet arisen, and effort for the growth of kusala, which has arisen. So, although there are four sammapadanas, there is only one paramattha dhamma, only one ultimate reality, and that is viriya. Viriya is only one, but here, since there are four functions of it, we take it to be of four kinds. Four making efforts, or four the supreme efforts. So in reality, or in real ultimate reality, all these four are just one mental factor, which is viriya. Okay, now let us go back to Satipatthana. Why are there four Satipatthanas? Actually, these four Satipatthanas are just one sati, one Chetasika sati. One Chetasika sati is said to be four Satipatthanas here because there are four kinds of objects: body or kaya, feeling, vedana, consciousness, citta, and dhamma objects. And there are four kinds of understanding then. We must understand kaya as not beautiful, non-beautiful. Understand means we must see through practice. And we must understand vedana as dukkha. Whether it is pleasant vedana or unpleasant vedana, we must see it as dukkha. And with regard to citta, we must see it as impermanent. If you pay attention to your thoughts, one thought coming in and then it goes away, the other thought coming and going, you see that at every moment there is a new thought or new consciousness. So, what people take to be one continuous mind is actually not one continuous mind. It is made up of these small, very brief moments of consciousness, say arising and disappearing, arising and disappearing. So, with regard to citta, we must understand it to be impermanent. And with regard to dhamma, we must understand it to be anatta, no soul. Or they are just dhammas, rolling on and on all by themselves. There is nobody and no authority that make them act in this way or that way, but they just happen according to their own intrinsic nature. So this understanding we get through practice of Satipatthana. So, since there are four kinds of understanding, four kinds of seeing, there are four Satipatthanas. And also, these four Satipatthanas abandon four kinds of wrong views. It's called, let us call them distortions. Now, with regard to kaya, we think that kaya is beautiful. People are now trying to be beautiful by doing exercises and so on, and then saying to them, my body is beautiful, my body is beautiful, or something like that. But according to the teachings of the Buddha, it's not beautiful, it is non-beautiful, right? And so, if you really, if you practice Satipatthana meditation, and if you really get into this, you will come to see that this Gaya is not beautiful. This Gaya is made up of head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, and so on, right? So it abandons the notion of beauty with regard to Gaya. And with regard to Vedana, it abandons the notion of Sukha. When we have a pleasant sensation, we are glad and we think that it is Sukha, it is happiness. But actually we must see Dukkha and even in Sukha Vedana. Because Sukha Vedana is also not permanent, so it comes and goes. So when it goes, we are sorry. And so we need to see that it is Dukkha, and so we need to abandon the notion of Sukha with regard to Vedana. And with regard to Chitta, we need to abandon the notion of permanency. If we don't practice meditation, and if we don't think about the Dhamma, we still think that our minds are permanent, something lasting for at least some time, right? I think I have the same mind as I had a year ago or maybe 5 years ago, something like that. So with regard to Chitta, we tend to take it to be permanent. But as I said before, when you practice Chitta Nupassana, you come to see that Chitta is not just one solid thing. So it is made up of small moments of consciousness, and so it is anicca. And with regard to Dhamma, we often see them as atta. That is, we can have authority over them or something like that. Or they are substantial. But when we practice Dhamma Nupassana meditation, we come to see that that means these both mental and physical phenomena just arise and disappear, and you are like a spectator watching them from a distance. So you see them coming and going all by themselves, and there is nobody who regulates them. So since there are four kinds of abandoning, there are four satipatthanas. So, although sati is only one, it becomes four because there are four objects and there are four kinds of understanding them, and there are four kinds of, or four, four wrong views to get rid of. That is why there are said to be four satipatthanas and not just one. Okay, now samabhadana. Samabhadana is also just viriya, only one, but it has four functions, the functions of, say, abandoning evil states that have arisen and preventing the arising of evil states that have not yet arisen. That is one function. And then third function is effort to for the arising of wholesome states that have not yet arisen. And the last one is the function of making much of wholesome states that have already arisen. So because there are four functions, the samabhadana, although it is only one chetisika, which is viriya, is said to be four. Now the next section, group is adhipada. Adhipada, how is it translated? Accomplishment, means to accomplishment. Adhi means accomplishment, and pada means cause, way, or means. But that really means a foot. So you stand on your foot. So if you have no feet, you cannot stand. So here also, if there is no 80 bada, there can be no 80. So that is why it is called 80 bada, the foot of accomplishment. That means the cause of accomplishment or the means to accomplishment. And there are 4 80 badas. Chandadipada, chanda 80 bada. Chanda, which is 80 bada, or 80 bada, which is chanda. You all know chanda. Desire or will to do. So chanda is one of the factors or one of the means to accomplishment. When you have a strong chanda, say you can achieve many things. And the second one is viriyadhibada, viriyadhibada. Viriya as a means to accomplishment. And the third one is cittadhibada, citta as means to accomplishment. And the fourth is vimansadhibada, vimansa means panya. So panya as means to accomplishment. Now in the notes, these are identical with the 4 predominants. Now in the second section, there are adipatis. So the 4 adipatis and 4 adipadas are identical. So these are identical with the 4 predominants. However, while those states become predominants on any occasion, when they are instrumental in accomplishing a goal, they become adipadas only when they are applied to achieving the goal of the Buddha's teaching. The expression adipada extends to both mundane and supramundane states. So both mundane and supramundane states can be called adipada. Actually, both mundane and supramundane, chanda, viriya, citta, and amoha, are called adipada. So here, adi does not mean miracle. It is just accomplishment. Accomplishment of jhana, accomplishment of magga, accomplishment of phala. So chandadipada is the cittadhipada chanda, viriyadhipada is the cittadhipada viriya, cittadhipada is the 89 or 121 chaitas, and vimansadhipada is amoha. Next group is indriya. Oh, they are not new to you. These indriyas are among the 22 indriyas taught in the second section, among the miscellaneous ones, mixed categories. So there are 22 are mentioned, and here only 5 are mentioned, because only these 5 are conducive to attainment of enlightenment. The first one is Saddhindriya. So Indriya means what? To have authority. But they are translated as faculties. Saddhindriya, faith or confidence. Viriyendriya, again, effort or energy. Satindriya, mindfulness. Samadhindriya, ekagata. And Panjindriya, amoha. Now, in the notes, It says, the faculties and powers comprise the same five factors, Indriya and Balas, though different functions are attached to these two categories. The faculties are factors which exercise control in their respective domains. They are not like adipati. There is only one adipati while there are many many faculties at a time. So they exercise control in their respective domains, while the powers are those same factors considered as being unshakable by their opposites. Thus, the five faculties exercise control in the respective spheres of resolution, that is for saddha. Exertion is for viriya, awareness for sati, non-distraction for samadhi, and discernment for panya. So they exercise authority in these spheres. They exercise control in these spheres. Because saddha is not just faith. There is an element of resolution or decision in saddha. You decide something to be the object of saddha, and then you have faith in it. So there is a kind of an element of decision in saddha. So here it says, exercise control in the respective spheres of resolution. And then viriya, exertion, sati, awareness, samadhi, non-distraction, and panya, discernment or understanding. So the five powers are the same stage considered as unwavering and as incapable of being overcome by their opposites. Now, this paragraph is for both Indriya and Balas. So the five Balas or powers are these same stage considered as unwavering and as incapable of being overcome by their opposites. So here they are called Bala because they cannot be overcome by they are opposites. In the development of faculties, now it is important, faith and wisdom are to be balanced. You have heard this time and again. I have talked about them many times, right? So faith and wisdom are to be balanced to avoid the extremes of blind credulity and intellectual cleverness. Now, if you have too much faith, you believe in everything. About 2 or 3 days ago, there was a news of the statue drinking milk. it was shown even on television, they said, and many people flocked to that place and offer milk to the statues. And later on, it was found out to be a fraud. So if you have too much faith, you will believe that. And if you have too much wisdom, if you know too much, you become intellectually clever. That means you become crafty. Or maybe something like you become dishonest. So faith and wisdom have to be balanced. And then energy and concentration are to be balanced to avoid restlessness and restless agitation and sluggish immobility of mind. Now, if you make too much effort, or if effort and concentration are not balanced, and energy or effort is too much, then restlessness comes in, or you are agitated. And so once this balance is disturbed, you cannot get concentration. And then concentration. If you have too much concentration, then sluggish immobility of mind, when your mind becomes calm and steady, still, and you tend to become lazy. So it is conducive to sluggishness of mind. And when it becomes sluggish, you begin to lose the object, because you kind of become sleepy and you want to go to sleep. So energy and concentration are also to be balanced. And I think during the practice of meditation, this is more important than balancing of faith and wisdom, because you already have enough faith, and you already you're trying to get understanding or wisdom. But energy and concentration are important. They must be balanced. But sometimes the yogis make this mistake of making too much effort or having too much concentration. And so both too much of energy and too much of concentration are bad. So they are, if any one of them is in excess, then the balance is disturbed, and so your meditation is not good. So faith and wisdom are to be balanced, and energy and concentration are to be balanced. What about sati? But strong mindfulness is always necessary. So there is no excess of mindfulness. For mindfulness oversees the development of the other faculties and ensures that they are kept in balance. So when there is mindfulness, mindfulness takes care that each of these faculties does its own function properly. And they do not function too much, or they do not function too little. So the mindfulness is like a regulating factor. Only when there is mindfulness can all these be kept in balance. And there is no such thing as excess of mindfulness, or there is no such thing as too much mindfulness. So, and that is why mindfulness is compared to what? Salt, right? They are putting salt in every dish, or it is compared to a prime minister who does everything. So mindfulness too has to be developed, and there can be no too much of mindfulness. So when these say five faculties are well balanced, then your meditation is good. And then if one of them acts strangely, if one of them is overacting or underacting, then you lose the balance or equilibrium, and so you cannot meditate. So these five are those that lead to, or that are conducive to, the attainment of enlightenment, and so they are here called bodhipakkhiya. And then balas, powers. So they are called powers of bala, or strength, because they cannot be shaken by their opposites. So they are strong enough to withstand the onslaught of not having faith, laziness, and heedlessness, and so on. So they are called balas. Now we met nine balas in the second section, right? Yeah. Here only five of them are taken because they are the ones that are conducive to attainment of enlightenment. Now, next group, Pajangas, or all familiar states. There are seven of Bodhyangas. Now, Bodhyanga, the word Bodhyanga is a combination of two words, Bodhi and Anga. Bodhi is explained as meaning one who knows, or one who has enlightenment. And also, a group of mental states that helps one to get enlightenment, or that are instrumental in achieving enlightenment. So we are called factors of enlightenment, because Anga means constituents or parts. And as you know, there are seven factors of enlightenment, and the first one, the individual factors are called Sambodhyanga. The word sam is added, the prefix sam is added there. So we have Sati Sambodhyanga, Dhamma Vijaya Sambodhyanga, and so on. So Bodhyanga and Sambodhyanga are actually the same. The prefix is maybe for the intensification of the meaning of the root. So, for practical purposes, Bodhyanga and Sambodhyanga are the same. So, the first one is Sati Sambodhyanga. Sati, which is a factor of enlightenment, or which actually leads to enlightenment. So the first one has already been mentioned as the four foundations of mindfulness, and here it is mentioned as factor of enlightenment. Again, it will be mentioned as a factor of path. Now the second one, Dhamma Vijaya Sambodhyanga. Here Dhamma means what? Dhamma means Dhamma. Now, these Sambodhyangas are explained in the commentary as those that accompany vipassana. So the sati and others that arise during the practice of vipassana are called Sambodhyanga. So Dhamma here means what? It must be the object of vipassana. So, what are the objects of vipassana? Mundane, citta, cittasika, and rupa, right? Vipassana does not take supramundane as object. Why? Vipassana tries to see the impermanent nature, suffering nature, and soulless nature of things. You cannot practice vipassana on nibbana. So, dhamma here means, say, five aggregates. Five aggregates of clinging. And vijaya is translated as investigation, thinking about it, right? So it is something like investigation. But here, dhamma vijaya means not just investigating, but understanding. So understanding of the five aggregates of clinging. That is dhamma vijaya. So Dhamma Vijaya is described as panya accompanying vipassana. Now you practice vipassana and you see things clearly. You see means you see in your mind clearly, mind clearly, matter clearly, and you see the mind and matter arising and disappearing, and you see that there are only mind and matter arising and disappearing and nothing more, like atta and so on. So when you see in this way, you are said to have this Dhamma vijaya sambojanga. You are understanding the Dhammas, you are understanding the five aggregates of clinging. So although it is translated as investigation, or although the Pali word is also vijaya, here we mean understanding, not just thinking of it or not just investigating. So in the notes it is said, investigation of states is a designation for wisdom, panya, insight into mental and material phenomena as they really are. The third one is viriya sambojanga, effort or energy. So effort or energy, which is not too much nor too little. Because if it is not balanced, if it is too much or too little, it will not serve as sambojanga. It will serve as a cause for agitation. Or if it is too little, a cause for laziness. So viriya sambojanga means viriya, effort, which is strong, but which is not too much nor too little. And then what? Piti sambojanga. So, joy or zest. So, piti which arises during the practice of meditation is called piti sambojanga. Not piti that arises when you see something desirable, when you experience something you like. But PD here, that arises with regard to Dhamma. When PD that arises during meditation, many of you have experienced PD, PD sambojanga, during the practice of meditation. And then pasadhi sambojanga. So there are two kinds of pasadhi, kaya pasadhi and chitta pasadhi. Tranquility of both consciousness and of mental factors. Now, kaya pasadhi means tranquility of what? Yeah, tranquility of chetasikas. Yeah, chetta pasadhi means tranquility of chetta. So, this tranquility also is sambojanga when it arises to a person who is practicing vipassana meditation. And then samadhi sambojanga. Oh, tranquility, pasadhi means tranquility both of consciousness and of the mental body. Okay. Now, samadhi sambojanga. Concentration sambojanga. So when you practice vipassana and your mind, as it were, go into the object and stays on the object, then you experience samadhi sambojanga. So when you experience real samadhi sambojanga, there are no mental hindrances. All mental hindrances are subdued, and so your mind is just on the object. It is not distracted to other objects, but hitting the object again and again and again, or something like that. And then the last one is upikha sambojanga. Now, I have told you, whenever you find the word upikha, be careful. It may mean vedana upikha or neutrality upekkha. So here, equanimity upekkha means mental neutrality, tatra majjhadatta. So it is one of the 19 chetasikas that are common to all sovana chetas. So it is one of the universal beautiful chetasikas, not neutral feeling. So here upekkha does not mean indifferent feeling or neutral feeling, but it means mental neutrality, equanimity. Yeah, it can be translated as equanimity, but we must understand it to mean mental neutrality, not falling to this side or that side. So being in the middle. You know, tatra majjhadatta means to stand in the middle. Now, the three factors of investigation, energy and zest, are opposed to mental sluggishness. So these three, Dhamma Vijaya, Viriya, and PD, are opposed to mental sluggishness. So actually they are conducive to agitation. So when you have strong understanding, your mind is like active, very active. When you make effort also, there is activity, and when you are when you experience PD, so you are like, what do you call, jumping or something like that. So they are opposed to mental sluggishness and they are conducive to agitation. The three factors of tranquility, concentration and equanimity, counteract mental excitation. So they are opposed to mental excitation. So they are conducive to what? Sluggishness. So they are opposed to excitation, but they are conducive to sluggishness. So if you let them without mindfulness, one will take you to agitation and the other will take you to sluggishness. So you need sati there. So put in sati, and it will control all of them and put them in their respective places and let them function properly in their own respective area. So mindfulness assures that the two groups occur in balance, neither exceeding the other. So that is why sati is always desired. Sati is always needed. Without sati, these mental factors would go, what do you call? Go wild. One will take you to sluggishness, the other will take you to agitation or excitation. So you have to put in sati to control them. So sati is very important. Okay, these are the seven factors of enlightenment. And the identification is easy, right? Sati Sambojanga is sati. Dhamma Vijaya Sambojanga is amoha panya. Viriya Sambojanga is viriya. PD is PD. Pasadi is two pasadis. Samadhi Sambojanga is ikagata. And upekkha Sambojanga is tatra majjhadatta. So the only the last one you have to be careful about. It is not upekkha vedana. It is tatra majjhadatta. Okay, the next group, magganga, factors of path. So magga means path. Now in the second section, magga means just a path to any destination. But here, magga means path to Nibbana. And these are the constituents of components of the parts of this path. That is why they are called Magganga. So Magga means path and Anga means part, constituent, or maybe members. So they are called path factors. And these eight are all too familiar with you. Samadhi, the first one. Right understanding. So samadhi here is the same as Dhamma Vijaya among the Sambojangas. Understanding the Four Noble Truths, understanding the law of karma, and understanding the anicca, dukkha, and anatta nature of mind and matter. So all this is called samadhi. later on, here Magganga, right? Okay. And then the second one is sammasankappa. Sammasankappa is translated in the manual as right intention. Now we usually say that translated as right thought. Whether it is translated as right thought or right intention, actually it is the mental factor vitaka. Vitaka is called sammasankappa here. So its function is to take the consciousness to the object. But in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta and in many places, it is explained as what? Thoughts of renunciation, thoughts of goodwill, and thoughts of harmlessness. That means thoughts of not killing and thoughts of not being cruel to other beings. Actually, it is the vitaka, I mean, initial application, directed towards these things, renunciation and so on. Samma vacha, right speech, that is abstention from four kinds of wrong speech. And samma kammanta, right action, abstention from three kinds of wrongdoing. And samma ajiva, right livelihood, abstention from four kinds of wrong speech and three kinds of wrongdoing, which are one's livelihood. Samma vayama, right effort. It is virya. So there can be wrong effort. So that is why it is said as right effort. Wrong effort will accompany which jetas? Akusala jetas. And samma sati. Now sati again. And the last one, samma samadhi. Ekagata, or concentration. Okay, so samadhi is amoha, samasankappa is vitaka, samavaca, samakamanta, samajiva, the same cetasikas, samavayama is identified with viriya, samasati identified as sati, and samma samadhi as ekagata. Now, in the notes, path factors 3 to 5 are identical with the three abstinences, so three viriyas. Right effort is the same as the four supreme efforts, sammapradanas. Right mindfulness is the same as the four foundations of mindfulness, satipatthanas. Right concentration is defined in terms of the four jhanas of the Sotanda system. If you have read the Mahasadipatthana Sutta, you understand this. In the Mahasadipatthana Sutta, in the section on Dhammanupassana, the definition of these eight factors are given. So when Buddha gives the definition of Samasamadhi, Buddha described the four jhanas according to fourfold method. So strictly according to that definition, Samasamadhi means jhana samadhi. But before you reach jhana samadhi, you have to reach neighborhood samadhi also. Before you reach neighborhood samadhi, there has to be some kind of samadhi. So they can also be called Samasamadhi. Now these eight factors are grouped into three, right? Sila group, Samadhi group, and Panya group. Number one and two belong to what group? Panya group. Number three, four, and five belong to Sila group. And number six, seven, and eight belong to Samadhi group. Now, number six and number seven are conducive to number eight. That's why they are grouped together. If you make no effort, you cannot get concentration. If you do not practice mindfulness, you cannot get concentration. So, sati and viriya are conducive to or help us of samadhi. And that is why they are grouped as samadhi group, or they are said to belong to samadhi group. Viriya is not samadhi, sati is not samadhi actually. But they are grouped, they are included in the group of samadhi because they help samadhi to arise. And samadhiti and samasankappa. Now samadhiti is alright. What about samasankappa included in the panya group? Again, vitaka is not panya. Vitaka is vitaka. Why is it included in panya group? Because if vitaka does not take the mind to the object, there can be no panya. So vitaka is beneficial to panya. Because it takes the mind, not only the panya, but Chaita and other Chaitasikas as well. If Vitaka does not take the Chaita to Chaita and other concomitants to the object, there can be no understanding of the object. So that is why Samasankappa or Vitaka is included in the group of Panya. So these three groups form the three steps of practice to be undertaken by a follower of the teachings of the Buddha. So you practice sila, and then practice samadhi, and then practice panya. Now, when you are practicing vipassana meditation, how many of them are in your mind? All eight? Huh? No. Strictly speaking, no. Right? You are not refraining from telling lies. You are not refraining from killing. Refraining means you have an occasion to tell lie and you don't lie. You have an occasion to kill and you don't kill. Then sama kamada and sama vajja will arise in your mind. But you are just sitting and practicing meditation. You are not refraining from all these. So these three actually do not arise during the practice of meditation. But when you say panatipata, viramanisikavara, samadhiyami, and so on, they are said to be present. So although they are not present in the mind of a practitioner of vipassana at the time of practicing vipassana, they are said to be accomplished, because you take precepts before you practice vipassana. So actually, these five, I mean, without the viriddhis, these five are called karaka magganga. Karaka means, let's say, worker. Say, worker maggangas. They are the ones who are really doing their job, right? Say, you make effort, you practice, you apply sati, mindfulness, and then there is concentration, and there is understanding, samadhi, and all these happen because there is samasankapa, or because vitaka takes them to the object. So, at every moment of vipassana meditation, I mean, a good vipassana meditation, these five are working together. So these five are called karaka magangas, waka magangas. So the others are, I don't know what name to give to them. they are supposed to be accomplished, already accomplished. So actually, they do not arise during the moment of vipassana. But these three arise together at the moment of what? Magga. So when you gain enlightenment, at the moment of magga, and also at the moment of phala, they arise together, right? Yeah. Only then they arise. Or only when you really refrain from killing and so on do they arise. But when you are practicing vipassana meditation, No viriddhis in your mind. Okay, so these are the eight magangas, eight factors of path. That means constituents of path. Now, since they are called constituents of path, strictly speaking, they arise with magacheta. But what about the magangas we just talked about during vipassana meditation? Can they be called maganga, or they are not called maganga? Strictly speaking, they are not maganga when we practice vipassana, right? But they are called pubbabhaga maganga. Or Lokiya Maganga, mundane Maganga. The real Magangas are supramundane Maganga. These eight that accompanies a Magacheta. But these eight or the five that accompanies Vipassana Cheta are also called Maganga. And they are the preliminary to the real Magga. And so they can also be called Maganga. So we have to understand there are two kinds of Magangas. Lokiya, I mean mundane Maganga, and supramundane Maganga. We practice mundane Maganga in order to get supramundane Maganga. We cannot practice supramundane Maganga, right? Actually, supramundane Maganga is a result of the practice of mundane Maganga. Okay. Now let's go to the last verse. Sabbe lokottari, all this occur in the supramundane, except at times intention, vitaka, and zest, piti. All this occur in the supramundane. All these eight factors arise with magacheta and phalacheta, except at times, that means sometimes, vitaka and piti, not. That means, with second jhana, Lokuttara Citta, Vitaka does not arise, right? And also with third, fourth, fifth Lokuttara Citta, Vitaka does not arise. And PD does not arise with fourth and fifth jhana, Lokuttara Citta. So that is why, except at times, intention and zest. So, Vitaka and PD arise with some Lokuttara Cetas, but not with all Lokuttara Cetas. In the mundane, too, they occur in the course of the sixfold purification, according to circumstances. Sixfold purification, we will study in the ninth chapter. The ninth chapter, the section on Vipassana meditation. So in that section, the seven stages of purity are mentioned. The last stage of purity is Magga. And the first six are Vipassana. Actually, the first is not Vipassana because the first purification is purification of Sila. So, they occur in the course of sixfold purification. That means in the course of your practice of vipassana, these maghangas will arise in the mundane chaitas. Because when we practice meditation, the vipassana chaitas are all mundane chaitas. So in the mundane, they occur in the course of the sixfold purification, according to circumstances. Sometimes, or samavaja, samankamanta, and samajiva are not present, in the minds of the in the minds of yogis who are practicing vipassana meditation. So, in the Lokuttara Cetas, they all arise. But in the Logia Cetas, in the course of the sixfold purification, they will arise according to circumstances. Okay, now let us go to the sheet. This sheet. Actually, you'll have to draw the diagram like that. So here. Satipatthana, Sammabhadana, Adibhada, Indriya, Bala, Bhojanga, Maganga. And then on the left, Virya and so on are given. Now, in this section, only 14 states are treated. Virya, Sati, Amoha and so on. So there are altogether how many? 14. But that means we take Chaita as one, right? So 14 states are treated in this section. Now the first one is Virya because it has the greatest number of names, so we put it first. Virya has 9 names. Virya functions as nine categories here. So what is Virya? Sammabhadana, right? So you take four, not one there. And then Adibhada, Virya Adibhada. Indriya, Virya Indriya. Bala, Virya Bala. Bhojanga, Virya Sambhojanga. And Maganga, Samma Vayama. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 4, 9. Right? Okay, Sati, how many? 8. So Satipatthana, 4. And then Indriya, Satindriya, Bala, Sati Bala, Bhojanga, Sati Sambhojanga, and Maganga, Samma Sati. Altogether, 1, 2, 3, 4 plus 4, 8. Amoha Banya, 5. Adibhada. What Adibhada? Vimansa. Vimansa Adibhada. And Indriya, Panya Indriya, Bala, Panyavala, Bodhyanga, Dhamma Vijaya, and Maganga, Samadhi. So, five names. Ekagada, how many names? Four names. Okay, Indriya. What Indriya? Ekagada. Samadhi Indriya. Not Sati. And Bala, Samadhi Bala. Bodhyanga, Samadhi Sambodhyanga. And Maganga, Samma Samadhi. Four. And then what? Saddha. Indriya, Saddha Indriya, and Bala, Saddha Bala. Only two. And the remaining are only, have only one name. So Vitaka, Maganga. What is Vitaka? Samma Sankappa. Pasadhi, Bodhyanga. Pasadhi Sambodhyanga. Pidi, again, Pidi Sambodhyanga. Tatra Majadada, Upika Sambodhyanga. Chanda, Edibara. Chitta, Edibara. Samavacha, Samagamanta, Samajiva, three Magangas. So Saddha and others have only one name each. And Viriya has the greatest number of names. Viriya has nine, Sati, eight, Panya, five, Samadhi or Ekagata, four, Saddha, two. So on the fourteen states are treated in this chapter, and each state is included in a certain number of categories. So there is a chart in the book, and that is in English, the same. It should become the same. So there you see under four foundations of mindfulness and mindfulness, the number four, and also supreme efforts with energy, the number four. So altogether nine, eight, and so on. So this chapter deals with only those states that are conducive to the attainment of enlightenment, or conducive to body. So they are called bodhipakkhiya. And there are said to be, or there are 37 bodhipakkhiya dhammas. Now please be familiar with these 37, because if you read the commentaries, you'll find them mentioned again and again. In the Dhammapada also sometimes, Dhamma means 37, factors of enlightenment and so on. So, can you tell me just the headings of these states? Satipatthana, or if you can say it in English, it's okay. Four foundations of mindfulness, supreme efforts, means to accomplishment, faculties, powers, factors of enlightenment, factors of path. Right. I want you to be familiar with this. Satipatthana, Samabhana, Edibara, Indriya, Bala, Bodhyanga, Maganga. So that is 7 bodhipakkhiya dhammas. Okay.